So this morning, as I was praying about what to minister today, the Lord laid something on my heart, and I think we're gonna do this. It's not going to come up here. It's Psalm 91. Ever since 9/11, most of us know a little bit of it, don't we? We know a little bit. And we've always applied it to our troops. But understand, this wasn't to troops. This was at each and every believer that reads this. The psalmist is writing this because he understands something. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. My refuge, a refuge is a place that is smaller, where you totally feel safe. They always tell you that if somebody breaks into your house, go to a room where you have control, where you're safe. That's what God is to us. I'm not controlling God, but I can get there. He said, my fortress. Well, if you've been to Jamestown or any of the colonial cities, you've probably seen a fortress. Fort Apache, whatever. You've got all kinds of things, references to them. They're larger. God showed me something about this morning when I was reading back here. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the person setting the traps. And from the perilous pestilence, he shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings, you shall take that refuge. Just like a mother hen, she sits there and she protects her babies. She brings them in. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. See, a shield can be anywhere usually between 2, 3 to 4 feet tall. Some of them are 6, just depending on which army you were looking at and depending on the material they were made out of. But that shield is kind of big. Now, if you've seen any movies, particularly of the Mediterranean area, Romans, Greeks, in battle, when the arrows come flying across through the air, they will pull those shields up and they hide underneath of them. And they'll set the front ones down so that nothing can get underneath, and then everybody will form a fortress. That's what those big shields are for. But guess what? When it gets busy, those big shields are cumbersome. And that's where the buckler comes in. The buckler is about 18 inches, so about that big around. It's strapped to your forearm, and the majority of combat is taught right-handed. So they would be strapped to here, and you'd have your sword here in your right hand. And you can knock the enemy away. You can undercut the enemy. The enemy comes at you with a sword, you lift it up, and it's usually, if it's made out of wood, it's thick. And that, anybody that's ever worked with wood knows, particularly old growth, it's some hard stuff. That's why you see more old houses standing in tornadoes than you do new ones. Those old houses are stout. And when the enemy is coming in, he's getting intimate with you. He's getting close. You've got your sword. And I'm going to tell you something. That sword right there, that's a double-handed, double-edged sword. You don't have a shield with those. Hopefully you're wearing body armor. But the swords that they would use wouldn't have been that long. They would have had blades about this big so that you're close. Because God's trying to tell us something. We'll get there in a second. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side. Remember, that left hand, the buckler, was used to knock away, used to knock them down. And, it sounds violent, but the reality, combat is violent. And they would use it as a weapon as well. That is the way militaries today are still taught. If you're out of ammo, you use your weapon and you beat them with it. If you wore that out, you use your knife. If that breaks or is gone, you take your helmet off and you beat them with that. It's the way we were taught. You use whatever is at your hand. You know, I'm reminded of a song from Johnny Horton, Battle of New Orleans. And I don't know if this is what he told them or what, but in the song he said, we fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. We grabbed an alligator and we fought another round. You grab what you can and you continue to fight. So 1,000 are falling at your left and 10,000 at your right. Or 10,000. The sword of the Lord, the word of God is powerful. Look, he said 1,000. And 10,000. Anybody else remember any other scripture in our Bible that may mention those two numbers in particular? It says one can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. But the psalmist is not saying they're just fleeing from you. It says they fall. In other words, God is in the battle. Psalm 144, it says, blessed be the Lord God who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle. Two different things, folks. Never really thought about it until I was in the military. It's like, those are absolutely two different things. A war is the whole great big thing, but the battle is intimate. Do you have a battle you're fighting right now? Is there something coming against you? Is the devil telling you you're not enough? Is the devil telling you you're not going to make it? Is the devil telling you anything? Because if he is, cast him under. Take the sword of the Lord and say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. And 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look. The judgment that comes upon the wicked will not come near you. Only with your eyes will you see it. And you see the reward of the wicked. Let's stop right there real quick. So I had to look at the definition of evil. You know what I mean? I didn't have to look at it for me. But it's important to know in context what's going on. See, we know evil is a moral or ethical compromise usually, right? We look at all these other things, well, that's evil, 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 okay? The reality is evil is anything that's against God. It's the antithesis of God. It's anything and everything that goes against the will of God. And therefore, the devil speaking to you is evil. The devil telling you, you need to worry, you need to worry. I don't know. God's word says, don't worry. Who are you going to listen to? Well, brother, don't you think I need to worry? No, I don't. Worry doesn't get anybody anywhere. A heart condition, that's usually what worry brings. Ulcers. What are you going to do that's going to change it? What are you going to do that's going to change what's going over in Iran? It was something I believe we should have dealt with 47 years ago. I never fully understood what was going on. But I do remember having the flag in the window. I remember learning about those hostages. And I do remember the day they were let go. A lot of that stuff I didn't get. I get it now. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, where you live, folks. God is not here all the time, if you understand what I'm saying. He's with you all the time. He's with us. God doesn't dwell in a building. He dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it, the Holy Spirit who lives within you. I believe Paul said the Holy Spirit, or no, John later on said the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. Same thing, lives. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. And do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The temple of the Holy Spirit was the Holy of Holies. That's why the veil was ripped. God was signifying, I'm done living in a box. I'm done living to what you think and how you can handle me. We love doing that to God. God, I'm only going to follow you if it's like this. I'm only going to understand you if it's like this. I'm going to tell you right now, God blew my mind putting me in the military. I understood him. I got to understand him better. Oh, yeah, man. Order. Boom, 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 boom. Authority. Boom, 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 boom. And that's what I thought when I got up here and was going to start preaching. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Left, right, left, up. About face, up. Then God said, all right, now learn about love. Oh, they didn't teach me that in the Marines. They taught me to kill, hate, to love my enemy. That's a different ball game. I have to learn. And I ain't gonna lie, sometimes it's a rough road. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day. Because you have made even the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near you. The things the enemy is setting up against you. If God is your dwelling place, if God is your refuge, if you're putting yourself under him, what are you worried about? For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. This is the scripture that Lucifer, or the enemy, tempted Jesus with. Jump off the top of the temple, and the angels will catch you. Because you know they will not even let you stub your toe. That's what he's saying there. They won't let you even stub your toe. What did Jesus say? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How many of us tempt God? Why do we think we can do it just because we're on this side of the resurrection? We're not supposed to tempt God either. We do stupid stuff. We get stupid prizes. That's the way it works. When God tells you to zig and you zagged, well, God, I kind of did what you said. No. When are we going to understand is kind of and doing what God said are not the same? We have got to do what God's saying. That's dwelling in God's presence. That's God dwelling in him. And allowing the enemy to even talk to you, he's going to shout. He's going to say, I don't know about this. This ain't going to happen. It's going to look bad. They're going to fight you. They're going to fight you. No. Focus on what God is saying. I read a pretty good article. You'll get a chance to read it soon, too. Meditate on the good. Well, I need to, I don't care. We know the evil's there. We know the bad is there. Why are you focused more on the evil than you are on God? Well, no, just stop. Don't focus on the evil. Focus on the one who's already overcome it. There's our problem. He already overcame it. That's why we're still fighting, because we think we have to fight it. Abortion, evil. Pornography, evil. Child pornography, in my opinion, even more evil. Rape, evil. Murder, evil. Focus on God, and we will sit and watch the evil. The wicked receive their reward. because we won't have to be there, only with our eyes. I've shared with you before, I've got an ex-brother-in-law who's now in prison for attempted murder. Was he 6'5"? When he and I tangled, he was 300 pounds, 6'5 and 300 pounds. So yeah, you can imagine what I looked like, because I was 140. But he was full of evil, and I know his life was not good. And I know what happened, some things that have happened to him, but it was always in his wheelhouse. He could have stopped. But he kept going till finally he was arrested, charged. His own son testified against him. And that was all the judge needed. And my mom was driving by, and just so you know, he used to whoop my sister. And that's why I was going to kill him. God told me not to. Wouldn't be good for me. And my mom was driving by the courthouse one day, and she got stopped by the light. The light just turned red on her. And she's like, And she's sitting there, and she looked over, and coming down the sidewalk out of Kenton Courthouse was Tony. Shackles, handcuffed, and deputies all around him. And there was a deputy going ahead telling people, get off the sidewalks. Dangerous criminal. And they led him out. And my mom said, I heard God speak to me. Only with your eyes will you see the reward. Because she had to live with it. There's 4 little boys that were involved. Their lives tore apart because of the evil this man perpetrated. And he was demanding they be part of it. That's how they got him. Folks, you need to pray. Don't do what I was going to do and plan an execution. God don't need you to be doing that. He says, vengeance is mine. Anyhow, so only with your eyes. Lest you dash your foot against a stone, you shall tread upon the lion, verse 13, and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God is, when he says set you on high, he means I'm putting you right up here. Because you know my name. Knowing my name isn't just, well, I know Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. I know all of those. That ain't what he's talking about. Do you know me? See, here's the thing with relationships. People think that because they know somebody's name, I know a lot of you think you know me. But those who are really close to me will tell you, no, you don't. Because sometimes the guy up here is different than the guy that's out there. But when I say that I'll fight for you, I mean it. That is me. But only those who've gotten to know me, who have spent the time with me, know me. And that's the same thing with God. If you aren't spending time with God, don't tell me you know him. Well, I get up and I pray for an hour every morning. When did God leave? Why are you only talking to him for an hour? He's with you all day. I talk to God in my truck going down the road. God, I got a question. What's going on here? What about this? What about that? If you don't know God, don't tell me how great you are. And understand something. You're not going to know God the way I know God. And I'm not going to know God the way you know God. So quit trying to make everybody know God the way you do. The only thing I can tell you is draw near to him. He will draw near to you. And you're going to look back and you're going to say, hey, God, you were boom, boom, boom. And then you're going like, ding, 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 ding. Bells and whistles are going to go off. God was showing himself to me every step of the way. So don't think for 1 minute that you've achieved. Until you're walking on water by yourself. Until you walk by sick people and they're healed. Until the dead raise because you said, wake up. I ain't listening. And quit trying to tell me to understand God the way you understand God. Pat and I've got some similar life experiences, but Pat can understand God a little bit different than I can. Same thing with Harold and Dave. We've all got the military in our background, but we all find God a little bit, we're from a little different perspective. I heard something a while back, and I was like, I don't know if I can agree to that. It said, none of your siblings had the same parent. I say, what? If you're the oldest, you have a different perspective because of the birth order. If you're the middle child, we got any Jans, middle childs, it's a different experience, isn't it? And babies, don't get me started on the big no. Let me go over here. But you see, the oldest, they get responsibilities put on them quicker, and they carry them longer. And eventually, they leave the house. And then one of the middles becomes the oldest, and they were never there. They really don't know how to act. Mom and dad expect you to act like this one, but you've never been there, have you? Somebody else was always there. And they're like, did you know how they treated me? They didn't love me like you do. But then finally the house gets down, and now you got the baby. And now I remember when we first, oh, we got Joshua, oh, look here. Oh, no. Get him, clean him up. Now, we weren't too fanatical about that because we both grew up in the country. She grew up on a farm, and it's like, listen, dirt ain't gonna, dirt's good. But eventually, each kid kind of, yeah, you know, we're not too worried about that. I was out hunting night crawlers one night in the yard. Jesse was with me. He was crawling, and I had my little bucket over there and my flashlight, and I'm grabbing night crawlers, and Jesse got quiet, and I looked back. He was chowing down. I'm like, okay. Fast forward to Justin. He don't even want to touch a night crawler. He's not too thrilled about it. But Justin's experience, Jesse's experience, and Joshua's experience was all different. Same dad, but they know me a little different. Because birth order. Because personalities. You know, I think I've shared before, and Angela's finally, she told me, and I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. You know, your firstborn doesn't always act like you. Now, Joshua and I, there's a lot of things we're similar in. Because we are the firstborns, and he is my son. But the one that I conflicted the most with was the most like me, and that's Jesse. He was the most like me. And I'd be like, no. Well, yeah, I guess he is. So I'm like, yeah, no. But Justin is a lot like her. And being the oldest, I kind of couldn't always relate. Because by the time in my family, the youngest was born, I was 14. 4 years later, I'm in the Marine Corps. So never really got to know him. But we're all different children. Now, we have the same father, but you get to know him a little bit different. Your life experiences, the things he's held you through. Things he's led you. I need you to understand something here, folks. This is all talking about personal battles. The enemy coming after you. And understand something. He's not protecting you from the battle. He's your shield and buckler. You are in it, man. I've heard people try to teach this out here. Oh, no, I don't. Nothing will come against me. Everything is going to come against you. Anybody that knows anything about the Word of God knows the second you put your foot to do what God has said, the enemy is going to try to stop you. He's going to try. And God said, as long as you're hiding out in me, I'll be your shield. I'll be your buckler. And I want you to take that faith and I want you to beat the enemy senseless. I want you to take the sword and drive him down. That's how Jesus overcame. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what we've been taught? Oh, I got to start into a tongues and then get an interpretation. And then I got to move over to here to an hour of intercession. No, we're talking about a man who's been fasting. At this point, we don't know exactly what the day number was, but we'll put it at 40. 30 to 40 days. Some of us are barely recognizable as humans with 7 under our belt, let alone 30 to 40. Bible says he was so weak, the angels had to come and feed him. He had just done, and anytime you've ever done spiritual battle and you're fighting the enemy, believe it or not, you will exhaust yourself. It is exhausting. And people think that it's not. But this is all about you being in a battle. That's why Psalm 144 says, blessed be the Lord God who teaches my hands to war, but my fingers to do the intricate things. Now, I didn't get too much in-depth training on hand-to-hand, but there's a few things I know, places you can put your fingers and people will drop what they're doing. And they're pretty easy. But you, first off, have to keep your mind about you and your wits about you. And that's what the Word is saying. Hold on to God. That's where your wits, that's where your strength in the battle comes from. If the devil's coming against your marriage, you better lock in. The two of you. You are one. Come together in him and fight. Fight like a couple of rabid pit bulls over a T-bone. Because that's what you've got to do. It's the enemy coming against you. God is going to protect you, but he's not saying, oh, you don't have to fight. At no point did I ever see in there where he said, you don't have to fight. Oh, and by the way, life has taught me. Life in God has taught me. I got to fight. Otherwise, why would Paul tell me to put on my whole armor? Taking on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Shing. Pull that sword out and get intimate with the devil. And drive him down. Thus saith the word. God said, I'm not to be tempted, and I'm not going to tempt him with this. So get behind me. God's not into magic tricks. That's what the devil wanted. Everybody wants to, look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's have a performance. How are you different than Simon, the guy in the New Testament who the apostles had to rebuke? Because he's like, here's $5,000. Give me this gift. Of course, he saw it as a moneymaker. Because he has set his love upon me, his affection. We're going to go back to 14. Because he set his affection. What's your affections on? If it's not on God, I'm going to tell you right now, you're already messing up. Your affection, everything. If when you're pursuing guys, when you're pursuing your girl, right? Your affection is on her. She's the only thing you think about day and night. Eating is optional. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. Oh, wait a minute. You're in trouble and I'm going to be there. See, Jesus didn't calm the water when he called Peter out, did he? He called him out in the middle of the storm. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Folks, I believe there's more perilous times to come. But I'm here to tell you, who's your daddy? Right there's who's mine. I want to know him. I want to know his name. You know why all those names are listed in the Bible? Because somebody knew God as Jehovah Jireh. These were names that people God will provide. Every place that something happened, they called it by another name. They changed the name of it because something happened there. And they marked that place. That place meant something to them. Unfortunately, today we get holy places. I've been watching some videos on Israel, and well, over there, that building right there, see that big building with the white top? That's the upper room. That's the church of the upper room. Now let's go over here. We have the church of the sepulcher. We have the church of the nativity. I don't know if they're just calling out a place in general, but it's like, seriously? What did we do? Turn this into Mecca? God didn't want that. That's why he said, go. Poof. To the winds. Do not worship a spot. I'm with you to the ends of the earth. Now, one more thing here. So when the enemy's coming at you, he's got his weapons, and they threw the spears. Okay? Spears were thrown when they got within distance. They usually launched the arrows, but they knew the arrows were... If everybody had shields, kind of pointless. But they throw the Romans. I learned this about the Romans. The Roman spears.